All right. I'm live?
Yes,
all right. Shalom, everybody. Hi, Mother Shekinah. He's not being bad. He's being good. See, his mother's my friend on Facebook. So, all right. We're going to start off with a little praise and worship, and then we're going to have Bible study. I hope that we sent out the 800 and some odd Bible studies that we do. And I hope everybody's got it and they can follow with the Bible study tonight. And then we're going to get started after we do some praise and worship, because it seems to work better when we invite the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord, man. That is a blessing. Now, we're about to get into the Word of God. What about my... That's my new buddy. We go work out together.
Man.
Bible studies together. And then now he's doing praise and worship.
Amen.
I'm like, wow. God is awesome. You got a beautiful voice, Rashawn.
Yeah.
Beautiful voice. You just, Man. you just a, Yeah, he's like, well, he's one of those gifted. I'm gonna show you him acting on one of his YouTube things. Man. I'm gonna show it to you. No, he's not an actor. Like, there's some people that are actors. He's thespian.
Now, he's like. What's the difference? Because I don't know.
B movies versus A movies.
Oh.
That's the difference. He could do A movies. Wow. Yeah. He's a thespian. Wow.
All right, Pastor.
It's like
rock and roll.
Okay. And I got my notes. And I got my.
And you still.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank Pastor Ben for my notes tonight. Even though I left them right here. All right, Pastor Ben, who's with us tonight? We got to thank Dustin Blystone because he sent me his newest book.
Justin.
Hallelujah. And you know this is the book.
I got now, one too, Dustin.
I will be finished reading mine before Friday, guaranteed, because I know it's good. I know it's absolutely going to be awesome. Here it is. To Pastor Sandy, thank you so much for your faithfulness, executing the Lord's ministry he has called you to. You are a true inspiration. I remember, unlike Pastor Sandy, remember to put his glasses on. Like, why am I struggling with this? Okay. I remember with great fondness your generosity in granting me the opportunity to share, I can't pronounce it still, the book, Metacosm, you know what I mean, and study, and God blessed me for your pulpit and platform last year. It was a true honor. Please accept this copy of my first biblical study book as a small token of my continued appreciation. I pray you find its instructions and edifying. I worked on it from 2001 to 2007. Since I know you have a problem sharing, I sent Pastor Ben his own copy. But I'm praying on that little problem I got. Insert for Pastor Ben. So Pastor Ben's got a book, and I got a book, and Dustin's a funny guy.
Thank you, Dustin. You're so right.
He's so right. But I'm learning to share. Amen. That's the important thing.
Yeah, he is.
Hallelujah. You guys got your notes out there? You give them their notes?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to... Oh, look at this, Pastor Ben. Here, are you close by?
I am.
Look at this.
Yeah, Janelle's working on it right now. She's sending them out.
Hallelujah.
Isn't they awesome?
That is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Hallelujah. Okay, now I know that's Colette and David. I love that. I love that picture. Man, now I got to put this picture in my office. This is an awesome picture. Let me see if I can find out something. I am so thankful to Susan from Jersey, who introduced me to Soldiers for Christ. So Jersey Girl introduced them.
Jersey Girl.
Jersey Girl, she's a lot of fun to talk to. And so they say they appreciate Susan H. Introducing them to Soldiers for Christ. Wow, wow, wow. Three wows, they said, like in heaven. I am so blessed and encouraged as listening to Pastor Sandy. My name is Colette. I am a French native. Comment ça va? says, I married a young man I met in Israel on kibbutz.
Wow.
Halata at the foot of the Golan Heights.
Wow.
Before the 1967 war, way back then, we were both pagan. David is Jewish. I was raised Catholic.
Oh.
So, miracle picture, okay? She was raised Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I married into a Jewish family. It was not easy, but God has a plan, or had a plan, because it's already worked now. In his mercy, he gave me a job, I thought, French. After 12 years and much pain, miraculous, I think that says, I became a believer in Jesus.
Yes.
Life at home was difficult. Still living with an unbeliever would not have been possible apart from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
My guide, my wonderful encouragement, eagerly waiting for Tebesh Av, the 9th of Av, the cloud party, which I think that is definitely a great possibility the more I look at it.
Yeah.
So hallelujah. And now they're living in Bradenton, Florida. So they're living in my home state, because I'm from Miami, which you guys probably didn't know. I'm going to value this picture because that's a miracle.
Awesome.
That's a miracle wedding right
that's
there. Hey, there's Brenda and Cora coming in. Get in there. Give them some notes, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
They need some notes.
Is it her miracle wedding?
No, this is a miracle wedding. Colette and David. Okay, hold on. One more, Pastor Ben, and then I'm going to finish out.
All right.
Okay, this is from Christine. And
that's from the UK.
Yeah, this is from the UK. Wow. From Leamington, UK. Praise the Lord. Dearest Pastor Sandy, thank you so much for your lovely Bible studies every week and the process teaching and the precious teaching you share with all of us. Two hearts. I wish all the very best to you and your family. May God bless you and keep you. Me and my friend Melaine watch you every time, and the encouragement and you provide is priceless. Pastor Sandy, I love you. I love you back, and thank you. May Jesus bless you. Thank you so much for this beautiful card. And when I finish with my cardboard, Pastor Ben, I'm going to bring it in.
Right.
It's going to be awesome.
Are we going to hang
hallelujah.
Up here?
Huh?
Are we going to hang it up here at church?
No. I'm going to have a new office soon, so I'm going to hang it up like a big picture board right in front of my office like that. That way I always feel loved.
All right.
So praise the Lord. Let's get started with today's Bible study.
Pastor Sandy, just so you know, one of our online, Nikki said she's with us 3 a.m.
3 a.m. in the morning? Where's she at?
She's in the UK.
Oh my goodness.
She's in London.
Thank you for staying up. Getting up. I hope you don't get in trouble.
Yeah, she loves 58 Lynn.
Wow.
Yeah, she's in the UK. She said it's 3 a.m.
Hallelujah. Okay, now we're going to have a Bible study tonight because I don't want you guys guessing about. Did I mess up your son? Okay. Now, we're going to have a Bible study tonight because I don't want you guys to forget who you're dealing with, okay? Because I know sometimes you can get so caught up in Christianity and who's texting you here and who's on Facebook there and who's arguing with you here and the pandemic here and all of these things. But we have to get back to really realizing who we worship, who we're dealing with, okay? Because we're not, I was reading through one of my old books from Islam the other day. It's kind of a book to teach Muslims how to get out of Islam. And as I'm reading some of the scriptures in the Quran, I'm going, how did I ever fall for this, you know? Because it was it's such a religion and it's so off from the Bible. And, you know, when my friend told me, he said, well, you know, the Quran didn't even come till 600 years after the Bible. Did you guys know that? Like the Quran was not even a book until 600 years after Jesus. So it's like, how do you come up with a book after Jesus and write the opposite of Jesus? But it's a very strange book. The more I was reading, I was like, how did I fall for this? This is like so crazy. But I understand religion, because religion, you can forget who you're dealing with, okay? If we are dealing with God, then truth will burn lies up like, you know, fire in cotton, right? It will just sift right through it, okay? So I want us to look at the truth of who God is, okay? And so the first thing we're going to do is go to the board, because I have questions to ask. Like, first of all, I want to ask you guys, we know it's 2020 for us, right? It's the year 2020. What year is it in Israel? For us, it's 2020. What year is it in Israel right now? Who knows? 5780 right now. It'll turn to 81 in September, okay? So right now, that's the year that's in Israel, okay? Now, how old is Israel now, you think?
68.
No, I mean, they're like 71 or 72, right?
Yeah.
Well, you could figure it out, because you could go, okay, you could, like, it was 57, come on, 5708 when Israel became a nation, okay? It was 5708, but for us, it was 1948. See there? So you would know that Israel is what? Close to 72 years old, if not 72 right now, okay? So, I want you to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And we're going to look at all the things why God is like, maybe it'd be better if I tell you what the tonight's title is. Tonight's title is Plan to Leave or Plan to Stay.
Right.
But one thing for sure, tribulation is coming, rapture is coming, okay? This isn't stuff I'm guessing at, okay? This is not like going to Vegas and gambling and seeing if it turns your way, right? This is not something we're guessing at, because we're taking a book that is 100% been proven over 6,000 years to be absolutely true. And so if our book is not absolutely true and it can't stand up against lies, then we wouldn't be able to follow it as strongly as we do. But it stands up against lies. There's no lie that someone can tell that you can't go to the Bible and go, I'm going to show you where that's wrong, okay? Because the Bible proves itself, okay? So, you get to Deuteronomy. Let's get to the book of Deuteronomy. And this is, I'm going to stay on the pages, but I wanted to make sure that I read this from the Bible so we understand. Okay. Now, some say, and I think it's less, some say there's 5,888 verses in the Torah, okay? And I think it's less, I think it's something like what the rabbis added and stuff like that, so I don't, but I know that there's about 5,888 verses in Torah, okay? When you count all of the verses in the book of Torah, and you get to the 5,708th verse, that would tell you what? This verse is now going to tell you about the return of the nation of Israel to its home, okay? Now, I want you to understand something though, because as we read this, it says, let's see, 30 verse 5. It says here, he will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. That is the 5,708th verse of the Bible, okay? Now, that is also, for the Jewish people, the year 5708. And for us is 1948. So God placed, as he's writing each scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, or in the Torah, when he gets to the 5,708th verse, he knows what? In the future, this is the year I'm going to bring Israel back to their land. Now we got a problem. They haven't even gone to the land yet. They're still wandering in the wilderness, okay? They don't even have the land. And God is telling them, oh, in the latter days, in the last days, you're going to come back to your land. So their question should have been, well, why do we have to come back? What's going to happen? Right. So God begins to tell them, okay? And he says, in verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the heart of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate you and persecute you. Okay? But then let's go to 29. Go back to 29, verse 22. I'm going to read this. It says, your children who follow you in the latter generations and the foreigners who come from distant land will see the calamity that have fallen on the land and the disease of which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt and sulfur. Nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing in it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So now he's telling them that your land, when they finally start coming back to it, is going to be so demolished and so destroyed that people are going to ask themselves, what happened to the land? Now, I have to back up once again. He starts telling the children of Israel, oh, by the way, you're not going to obey me, and I'm going to have to kick you out of the land. Now, wait a minute. They haven't even gone into the land yet. We haven't even got to the book of Joshua. They haven't crossed over to nothing. He's telling them the whole story. He said, you're going to be disobedient, okay? I'm going to kick you out of the land. And once I kicked you out of the land, in 5708, which is 1948, I'm going to bring you back to the land. Okay? And he's telling them this before they even cross over the Jordan. So if I was them, I'd be really confused. I'd be like, okay, he's giving us this land, yay, but we're going to get kicked out of the land, and then he's going to bring us back to the land. Okay. But he's telling you when he's going to do it, and you have no idea because it's so far in the future, you don't know what God is starting to plan, okay? But he's planning to use the nation of Israel as what? A chosen people in the world so that he can bring the rest of the world to the knowledge of God, okay? And he's saying, you're the people that I'm choosing, okay? So, if you go on the internet and you type in the 5,708th verse of Torah, you'll have many references that will tell you about this miraculous thing of reading the Torah and coming to the 5,708th verse, and it's saying that we are going to return to the land, and then it turns out to be that's the exact year that we return to the land, 4,000 years later or so, right? So who's prophesying things 4,000 years before they happen and making them happen in the exact day and year that he says he's going to do it, okay? You have to understand this is the same God that you serve, that you committed your life to, that says, oh, by the way, you're not going to experience death in your lifetime. You're going to disappear, meet you in the clouds, and forever you will be with the Lord after that, okay? So he's letting you know, like, this is my plan. Now, the only way we can believe that plan is if he made that plan come true. And is Israel back?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So now, the next thing we want to know, because to God, 1948 is very important. You got your papers with you? Okay. So we've got 66 books in the Bible, right? And we've got the 19th book of the Bible to be what? The book of Psalms, right? That's the 19th book of the Bible. Okay? Now, this 19th book is from Adam. Okay? Here we go. I'm sorry. I meant from Genesis. We're going to go from Genesis to Psalms is going to be 19 books. From Revelation backwards to Psalms is going to be 48 books. So who you think's putting the Bible together? Because he already told you 1948 here is important to him. And that's when they came back. But now he's designing a book. And he chooses 66 books. And everybody's going, oh my God, he forgot some books. What about Enoch and Jasher and all of these books? And God's like, it's my book. I'll use the books I want to use, right? And these are the 66 I chose, right? When we read the book of Isaiah that Dustin sent us, we'll look at that. But now watch this. So God says, the middle of the book that's going to tell the story of my people is going to be Psalms. So I'm going to make it the 19th book, and I'm going to make the 48th book backwards. So in 1948, now, if I go to the 19th book of the Bible and I read the 48th chapter, and the whole chapter is about the rebirth of the nation of Israel, you would go, wait a minute. Okay, so let's go to Psalms. Psalms 48. I know this is review, but the Lord says you've got to understand who he is. Because this is pre-planned. The book is designed. It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astonished. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish. So now he tells the story about the king seeing the nation of Israel come back into the land and them attacking Israel. But God fought the war for them and they fled in terror. And Israel wins the war with no army after coming back into the land and being there less than a year. And how many kings came against them? Five. Where did they get their weapons from? Russia was feeding them weapons. They had all kinds of stuff. But they couldn't whoop it, little bitty Israel, who just came back and hasn't even had the opportunity to form an army. And Israel wins the war. Miracle? It's a miracle, but the big thing is what? God wrote that they're coming back at that time. So it doesn't matter what you try to bring against them. This is going to happen. Why? Because he said so. This is the same God that says a trumpet is going to blow. And in the twinkling moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be on a cloud and Jesus will be present. And thousands of angels will be present. This is the same God that's telling you this. Why? Now, so you believe that only if he's done some incredible things before. And that's what I'm trying to show you. We wake up every morning, we walk out, and we see the sun. There it is, again, obeying God. I read in chapter 1 of Genesis that he actually created the thing. Put it there in the middle of the sky. And guess what? It gives us all life. Wow. Created stars and he created the moon. Wow. So what about these scientists that said, we can't even figure out how God created life. We know all the components that it takes them to make up life, but how do you put them together and put them in a body and make them talk and be reasonable? How do you do that? So they say the more we study about human beings and how God created life, the further we get away from finding out the answers, because we can't figure out, like we know the chromosomes and this and that, and we can get all that, but how do you put it all together, birth it, and make it walk and talk and have reason? So they can't even figure that out, right? So when I'm talking about God, I'm talking about somebody that planned Israel 4,000 years before Israel came back, okay? Now, so he goes there with 19. Now, this is the thing. This is the thing I want you to know and to understand. Okay, let's continue reading this because I want to get to verse 13. Let's read in verse 10. It says, like your name, O God, your praise is to the end of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The valley of Judah are glad because of your judgment. Walk about the Zion, go around her courts and her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell it to the, let's get to our notes, to the Lador Ha'akaron. Okay, now I put this on our notes for a reason. Because 20 times in scripture, they use this word, Lador Ha'akaron, Acheron. Now watch this. You see this page over here where it says Genesis lexicon? Okay, in the lexicon, in the Hebrew, they have Acheron as this word, termination date.
Ooh.
So acharon means, now if you're working and I say today is your termination date, what do you know? That's your last day, right? So the Hebrew reads it as being the last of something, okay? So the word, the first word is used, it says the termination, okay? The latter, the foremost, okay? And now it's used in Exodus, and they use it correctly in every verse, but then when they get to this verse, they say, the following generation. And so somebody reading Hebrew go, why would they do that? Why would they take a word that means last or terminal and say the following? And some of your Bibles say, tell it to the next generation. But the Bible says, no, when you see the nation of Israel return back into its land, you go and tell it to the last generation, okay? And so now, how do you get to know what the last generation is, okay? Because we know when Israel was rebirthed, we know when, it's absolutely crazy. We know when they're rebirthed, okay? So we say, how does God get to the fact that 70 years is a generation? It was amazing to me because in studying, because if you study God, like God's like, okay, I'm gonna teach you the Bible, right? So I'm reading, and Adam dies when he's 930 years old. And immediately God says to me, go back and read what I told him. It says, in the day that you eat of this, you will die. I went, God, he lived 930 years old. He didn't die the day they ate of the fruit. He says, a day unto me is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So if he had lived to be 1,000 years, it would have been one day, but he died when he was 930. That's why 70 years is a generation to man. So now 70 years has become a generation to man. Many of the punishments that go out from God was like, you're gonna be in Babylon for one generation, 70 years. And he's given this, but then when we get to Psalms chapter 90,
yeah,
he adds 10 more years, he says, or 80.
Right.
Man, you messed me up, I was just at 70. Okay. So let's go to Psalms chapter 90, right? And what does it say? It says, the length of our days are 70 years. Yes, I know that. Or 80. If we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. So he's saying that their generation is going to last 80 years, but through trouble and sorrow. For quickly they pass and we fly away. So he's saying he's going to save them, but it won't be until the 80th year. And if you read this in Hebrew, it says, because of like rebellion, it says, who knows the power of your anger, for your wrath is great as the fear that is due you. So it's through trouble and through sorrow. After they come into the land, it won't just be 70 years, it's going to be 80 years. But where would 80 years land them? 80 years after 1948 would land them where? 2028. But check this out. The leaf came out in 47. Because what happened in 1947?
They were promised the land.
Exactly. In 1947, what happened? They're at the UN, and the people of God and all the world's people are at the UN to make a decision, because the Jews have just come out of Holocaust and they need a place and a homeland to go. And they say, let's meet at the UN in 1947 and we'll all make a decision. But a book was written called Psalms, which is the 19th book in the 47th chapter, so 1947, it says at the end, the nations of the world, the leaders of the world met and to make a decision concerning the people of Abraham. Read Psalms chapter 47. Read the 19th book in the 47th chapter, and you'll see at the very end, all the world leaders got together to make a decision concerning the people of Abraham. But how does God know 4,000 years later or 3,000 years later, he's going to make them meet and make a decision to give the land back to Israel? Of course. So that means who's controlling the minds of men? God. Who's controlling the maneuvers and things that go in the world? God. I don't think that anything has caught God by surprise. Like God is like, everybody's wearing masks. Why is everybody wearing masks? A pandemic? I didn't plan this. As if he's like shocked, you know? God probably like, no, we knew about this when they came out of Babylon. What was going to happen in 2020, right? So this is no shock to God, okay? Why? Because God already knows where the world is headed. Where's the world headed? Into tribulation. Revelation 13, take the mark, okay? The Bible says that. So if the Bible is telling you that that's going to happen, and it's the same God that told you that they're going to meet in 1948, but people are going to come against them, but God's going to fight the war and they're going to win anyway, and nobody's ever going to remove them from the land ever again, and he's telling you 4,000 years before it happens, okay. So now what do we do with the pandemic and the black Hebrew Israelites and the Black Lives Matters? And do we get involved with that? You're like, dude, man, I told somebody the other day, I said, I have way more important things to think about. You should address this, Pastor. I have way more important things to think about and to address than black Hebrew Israelites or Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because God knew that the place was going to be a mess right before the tribulation, and it's a mess, okay? But the world is moving into tribulation. They can't even see it, but as born-again Christians, we should go, wait a minute, he already wrote about this coming. Are we shocked that they're going to have a chip with the vaccine and your bank account on it all in one? Are we shocked? It seems like in 90 AD, God wrote that everyone will take the mark in their hand and in their forehead, but he just happened to do it a couple of thousand years ago. He wrote about it, okay? So now that it's here, I can't believe they're gonna do this. Of course you can. God already told you it was gonna happen, okay? So when he says something, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Okay, now, so the word acharon means the last, final, terminal day, okay? And God is letting you know that their terminal day is coming. I forgot to tell you something. Now watch this. If they came back here and the 80 years leads them to here and here, what's the last generation for the church? Because Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. What's the days of Noah? The generation of the righteous. And Noah's generation lasts how long? 120 years. So in 2020, us leaving leaves perfect time for what? A 7-year tribulation.
Wow.
Perfect time to birth his own kids into the world. Israel has now birthed his own children. Because in 2020, it birthed the church. The world can't be stressed out over what's going on. And Christians can't get involved with what's going on. people calling me, Pastor, Kanye's running for president. Now, I haven't hung up the phone on somebody since high school, because that's just rude, right? But I felt like going, oh, why are you calling me to tell me that? It's Wednesday, it's my Bible study day. And you're telling me to tell me a Satanist rapper faking like he's a Christian, singing Christian songs with satanic music, is running for president, and you think that's something I need to hear about? No, I'm in the middle of a Bible study about when we're leaving. Because nobody is going to be thinking about this place once you're there.
Amen.
Okay, now here we go with this. You guys got your books with you? Your booklets with you? Me and Rashawn went over this the other day. And you see what it says after it says 6,000 years, 6,000 year count. You see what it says right underneath there? Given to Pastor Sandy in 2003. So January 1st, 2003, this is what I received from the Lord to make sure that I know that he's counting the time. Because some people might say, oh, nobody knows when or where, it could last a billion more years. No, God said it's a 6,000 year plan. I've agreed to work a little bit over time because I want my second bride, but it's a 6,000 year plan, a 7,000 year, we'll finish the millennium, and then the 8,000 year will become what? A new heaven and a new earth, right? Okay, so let's look at this. This is the simple question asked. Adam was created by God, right? On what day? Let's go with 6th day, okay? Because I don't want no craziness. So Adam is created. When Adam turns 130 years old, he has his son, Seth. How old is the earth now?
When
Adam turns 130 years old and he births his first son, Seth.
130.
The earth is 130 years old. Right? Because on the 6th day, he created him. Okay, so let's say 130 years and 6 days. Okay? So the earth is now 100. Now his son Seth lives to be 105 years old. And so how old is the earth now? 235 years old. Now I'm not going to keep doing this because my math will get jacked up and y'all go, he's not that smart as I thought. But now you're at 90 years. Because God is in chapter 5 of Genesis, he's giving you every year of every birth. And I got a question after we finish this. So then Enosh lives 90 years. Then he has his son, Kenan, 70. Mahaloel, 65. Jared, 162. Enoch, 65 years. Then he has his son. Methuselah lives 187 years before he has his son. Lamech lives 182, and then he has his son, who is Noah. And then Noah turns 600 years old. And then the earth is now 1,656 years old. You can calculate it when you get home, right? Now, we continue. Did you? Where's my page? Aha, I brought it. Do you guys have the other page? I think you missed some of it, Pastor Ben. Let's see. Yep. Oh, unless it's on another page. Nope. Okay, I got it on my page.
You sent us 4 pages.
Yeah. Okay, see this page? You don't have that page?
No, we don't have that.
Okay, now, here we go. So now it says, after the flood, 2 years after the flood, Noah's son Shem had his son Arphax, and then Arphax, and then 35 years later, he has Eber. Then 30 years later, they have Peleg. And then 34 years later, he has Reu. And then
30 more years later, they have Sharug. Then 32 years later, they have Nahor. Then 30 years later, is birthed Terah. And then when Terah turns 70 years old, he gives birth to three sons. And the first son they mentioned is Abraham. So when Terah turns 70, he begins to have his three sons, and one of them is Abraham. This brings us to the year the earth is now 1948 years old. Is that strange? Because Abraham's going to be the father of the nation of Israel. And as you're counting all of these births and dates, when you get to the 1948th year, it says, oh, and then Terah began to have his son, Abraham, blah, blah, and blah, blah. Right? And you're going, so from Adam to the 1948th year, the nation of Israel begins? Okay. So now go back to the page that we didn't have. Okay, the first Adam to Abraham is 1948 years. Listen to this scripture from Corinthians chapter 15. So it is written, the first Adam, man Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Who's the first Adam? Adam. Who's the last Adam? Jesus. Why do we call it 1948? Because it's 1948 years after the birth of Jesus, right? So you mean after the first Adam, it was 1948 to Israel, and then after the second Adam is 1948 years to the rebirth of Israel. So God counted 1948 years from both Adams to make sure Israel is established? This now means that God had to know the exact year everybody's going to have a baby. He had to orchestrate it because he's counting it. If God is counting 1948 years, that means it's going, and you're 30 years old, it's time to have a baby. Get busy, get busy, get busy. Okay, I need 35 more years to add to this. Get busy, get busy, get busy. You know what I mean? He's orchestrating the birth so that every year comes out perfect. So then after Adam is born, it's exactly 1948 years. And then you have Terah and he begins to have Abraham. So God's orchestrating the birth of everybody so his numbers can come out right. Okay? So this is the God you serve that people tell you, oh, you know, you need to panic because God will forsake his own people if there's a pandemic, you know, because we can't trust. And the Bible's like, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things will be added to you. I've never forsaken, you know, I've been young and I've been poor, old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So, but the same people that says, Jesus is my rock, my soul, my shield, wake up and go, well, what am I gonna do? It's a pandemic. I can't go anywhere. My job is going to let me go if I don't hurry up. Pray. It's not like he stopped listening to you, right? This does not move God. God is doing something and God knows what's going on. Do you know that God knows? Do you know what the ultimate desire for both the Illuminati and Trump is? Do you know what the ultimate desire is? To get rid of finances, all paper finances, and turn everything over to digital currency. Yeah. So whoever wins, you're coming out of this with only digital currency.
Yep.
Which means now you can't pull any money out of your pocket. Everything has to be in your hand or on your forehead because that's the plan that God said is coming about in the tribulation, right? Mm-hmm. So you're watching this happen right before your eyes, and instead of us getting excited and saying Jesus is coming, people are panicking. Someone said, I hate Trump. He's going to divide the land. He's the Antichrist. I said, the Bible said that there was going to be a peace deal and that they were going to divide the land. He already said this. You should be excited. That gets you closer to the rapture. He's dividing the land. All right. I knew it. I knew it was coming. Revelation already talked about it. That means we're closer to the cloud party. Bump, bump, bumping up. only Pastor Ben knows that song. Right? It's time to dance.
Yeah.
It's getting closer to the time to dance. So as you're watching the tribulation coming, look, God planned that the second Adam, the first Adam, he counted 1948 years to Abraham, the birth of the nation of Israel. From the second Adam, Jesus, he counted 1948 years to the birth of Christ. Then he says, make the book in the Bible, the 1948 book, talk about the rebirth. So my Bible talks about it too. So he's doing all of these things and he's making things come to pass. So that means God is in full control of the world. Why would Donald Trump stand up in 2017 and say Jerusalem belongs to the Jews?
Yeah.
Do you know that was a prophetic event?
Yeah.
If he didn't do it, somebody had to do it because it was the last, it was the 120th Jubilee, and every Jubilee, Jerusalem has to be proclaimed that it belongs to the Jews.
Yeah.
It happened in 1917, it happened in 1967, and it happened in 2017. All 50-year divisions, but God said, in this year, the land has to be proclaimed back to the original owners. And every 50th year, for the last 150 years, it's happened. Okay, because if you count back 50 years from that, you'll see they proclaim Jerusalem again. Okay, so I'm saying somebody up there already knows what's going on. Okay, so now that you know that he knows that he has something going on.
5 minutes.
You have to understand this. Watch this fact. 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, I'm not going to read it, tells us that 19 years after they get Israel back, they're going to get Jerusalem. Did that happen? Yes, 1967 war, they got back Jerusalem. But 2 Kings tells us that it'll be 19 years later. So it had to happen 19 years later. Okay? Hosea chapter 1 tells us the Jewish people will be punished in Germany, which is the name Gomer, the ancient name is Gomer, but God tells us that the Jews are going to be punished in Germany, okay? Because he has Hosea marry Gomer, which is the ancient name of Germany. And Gomer's son was Ashkenaz, so they're Ashkenazi Jews. So you see how all that clicks together? But that's from Genesis 10, so that means he was already planning Germany in Genesis 10. And Ashkenaz is the son of Gomer. Germany is the ancient name of Germany, and Ashkenaz are all the Jews that returned from Europe are called Ashkenazi Jews, right? So that means he's planning that from Genesis chapter 10, okay? So now we look at Esther in chapter 9 tells us that Hitler will die. Wait a minute, it wasn't even Hitler. Hitler wasn't even alive in the time of Esther. But he tells us that Hitler will die and his 10 top generals will be hanged in 5707. You see that? And he says, but 5707 is after September of 1946. So in 5707, in the month of October, since it was after September, it had to be because God said it would be after September, they hung 10 generals of Hitler the same way they did in the book of Esther with Haman and his 10 sons. So you tell me that God told us exactly when Hitler was going to die and exactly when his 10 henchmen were going to die, and he tells you the exact year is going to happen 3,000 years before it happens. Because, and he's going to practice by having Haman hang himself and then his 10 sons get hung. So, and then put in the names of his sons, the number of the next year that this time is going to happen like this again. and it's in Esther, and you're telling me that somebody up there is not in control of everything that's going on? You're not getting me stressed out over any of this stuff.
Amen.
I am at home packing bags and getting ready to fly. Okay? Psalms chapter 39 in Psalms. So Psalms would be 1939, right? When did the Holocaust begin? 1939. When did the Holocaust end? 1945. So from Psalms 39 to Psalms 45 is all about the Holocaust, and the Jews don't have anything good to say until Psalms 45, which is the year that the Holocaust stopped. But God had already documented how many years the Holocaust would last in the book of Psalms. So this is who we're dealing with. You understand? This is who we're dealing with. That one, when people come to you and they say, God told me to do this, and then I did it, and I was like, wow, I can't believe God did that. And then this happened, and you're like, I know, it happened to me too, right? Because God is maneuvering. He makes people that don't even really speak to you so nice to you, and you can't figure out why they're doing this for you. It's like God put it in their brain, and they just can't help but do it for you, right? So we have to understand and know who's in control, what his plan is, and that his plan for his church is what? Not survival through the tribulation. That's not his plan. Let's go over to the next page. Disappearance before trouble scriptures. Micah chapter 7 says it all, that the righteous are going to disappear and then trouble's going to start. Isaiah 57 says the righteous are going to disappear and then trouble's going to start. Matthew chapter 25 says there were 10 virgins. 5 went to the wedding feast and 5 didn't get to go because they weren't ready, right? Matthew chapter 24 says 2 will be in the field, 1 will be taken and the other one left. Psalms chapter 12 says all the righteous people have disappeared from the land and then all trouble started. So, and then Thessalonians says the righteous that are dead in Christ will rise first when they hear the trumpet, and they'll go up into the cloud, and then we who are alive and are still walking around will be caught up to meet with them in the air. Same God that told you Israel was coming back in 1948, 4,000 years before it happened. Okay? So if other people don't believe them, that's their problem. But I've got too much evidence that our God is real. Isaiah 26 says, go into your homes and hide there until my wrath is finished. So all these scriptures are telling you that there's going to be a taking away of the righteous before the trouble starts. How many scriptures? How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of those. Now you get into Jewish leaders marrying Gentile wives. Joseph marries a Gentile bride. He's a Jewish king. He marries a Gentile bride. And they happen to live in the palace for 7 years while a famine is going on. And are the Jewish people living in the palace too? No, not until the 7 years, because the famine lasts for 7 years. So he's living in a palace with his Gentile bride for 7 years while famine is going on in the world for 7 years. Sounds like tribulation and a Gentile bride getting married? Same thing. Moses marries a Gentile bride. After the Jews rejected him, after his own people rejected him, he went off and married a Gentile bride. And it was God that told him, hey, it's time to go and see about your people. And he took his wife to go back to Egypt to see about the people. Why do you have to take his wife with him? Because the Bible says when Jesus comes back, we're coming back with him. What other reason would he take his bride with him other than to tell the story of the author, because the author is telling his story? What other reason would Moses say, you know, they were going to kill me there, and I'm going to go back to see about my people. Get on the donkey. I'm going to take you with me just in case they kill me. They can kill us all. No, he's not telling you that for that. Moses, in our thinking, Moses would have said, I'm going back to Egypt, but babe, you stay here with you and your father because, you know, it's going to be dangerous. But because that's not the story of the author, it's not written that way. So Moses takes his bride and puts her on the donkey to go back to Egypt with him, because he's going back to do what? Rescue Israel. Same story. Then Boaz marries a Gentile bride, Ruth, at the end of the wheat harvest. Okay? Revelation chapter 4 tells us what? John, what's he doing? He says he hears a voice, and the voice says to John, what? Come up here. He says immediately he was in heaven, and when he got to heaven, he saw seven candlesticks blazing, standing in peace in a glass, in a sea of glass. And he says, wait a minute. In Revelation chapter 1, it said the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So John is in heaven with the seven churches? That's in Revelation chapter 4. Then Revelation chapter 5, you see a crowning ceremony. Everybody taking off their crowns and throwing them at Jesus' feet. In Revelation chapter 6, we see Jesus releasing the first seal. And then the Antichrist is released to go and conquer and to cause war in the world. Okay? So all of this is telling us God's story. And if you are one of the blessed people in your life that has the opportunity, okay, to hear the gospel and the heart to accept it, and Jesus come into your life and begin changing things around and watching over you and keeping you and giving his Holy Spirit to you and trying to get you prepared for this wedding feast, right? If you're one of the blessed people that know Jesus Christ, you are a part of his plan. The bride, God thought about the bride in Genesis when he brought Eve to Adam. So God has already told you, I'm going to create you a bride, and I'm going to bring the bride to you. Okay? So that means God was already planning this in Genesis. So why is it so weird for the church to talk about the wedding feast, the rapture, tribulation? Oh, we don't want to talk about that. Let's just talk about tithing. Let's talk about, you know, naming and claiming. Let's do this stuff. It's so much foolishness that has been in the church, and I grew up in it. Yeah. I grew up in it to the point where I had to get away from it, and I started thinking maybe Islam might be the answer, because I know when I go there, the people are just quiet and they kneel and pray. Nobody's jumping up and falling over each other, and drums are beating and people kicking down the aisle. And it was going to a Christian church embarrassed me. I took my girlfriend there. She's like, I was scared. I had to get out of there. Because people falling out and 20 people speaking in tongues at once. And it was like, wow. I was like, man, my girlfriend's like, I ain't never going back there. Because church hasn't been about God's plan. And right now, in this time, in this last hour, God is raising up some people to tell you his plan and to prepare to go, because we're almost there. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's it. Hallelujah.